On the surface, many might wonder how two observances, Memorial Day weekend and Trinity Sunday, might fall on the same weekend. What on earth do those two things have to do with each other? Many might wonder. Well, before I answer that question, I'm going to ask you this morning to listen to these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from the 8th chapter of Romans, that talk about the dynamic nature of our Christian faith. And then I'll bring us back together and see if we can answer that question. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17 is read from the Common English Bible. So then, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. But it isn't an obligation to ourselves to live our lives on the basis of selfishness. If you live on the basis of selfishness, you are going to die. But if, by the Spirit, you put to death the actions of the body, then you will live. All who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons and daughters. You didn't receive a spirit of slavery to lead you back again into fear, but you received a spirit that shows you are adopted as His children. With this Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. The same Spirit agrees with our spirit that we are God's children. But if we are children, we are also heirs. We are God's heirs and fellow heirs with Christ if we really suffer with Him, so that we can also be glorified with Him. Thus ends the reading. If you were to ask me to give you one word that sums up what it means to live as a Christian, I would answer with the word relationship. That word, relationship, dominates the landscape of both the Old Testament, or Hebrew Scriptures, and the New Testament, or Greek Scriptures. Dynamic relationships with God, God's self, dynamic relationship between God and humanity, and dynamic relationship between one human being and another. How so? Well, you would have to look no further than the very first book in the Bible, Genesis, to answer that question. The first of the two creation stories contained in Genesis sets the tone by talking about the dynamic and relational nature of God, God's self. Verse 26 of the first chapter tells us that on the sixth day of creation, God said, "Let us make humanity in our image to resemble us." And once that process of creation was set in motion, God could have stepped back and removed God's self entirely from the created order. But the second creation account tells us God chose not to. For the Garden of Eden story tells us that immediately God was drawn into powerful relationship with both Adam and Eve. And dynamic relationship between even God and humanity wasn't enough. For after those initial moments of creation of Adam, that second creation story tells us that God said, "It is not good that the human is alone." Each and every turn in that formative story of our faith, the notion of relationship dominates. It's no wonder that as our spiritual ancestors evolved in their understanding and experience of God, that they would continue to use explicitly relational words in order to capture the essence of our Christian faith. That they would use words, for instance, like Father, to capture the creative or the life-giving dimension of God. That they would use a word like Son to capture the tangible, immanent dimension of God. And that they would use words to describe the Holy Spirit. Words like Advocate, Comforter, and Friend to describe the comforting and abiding dimension of God. At each and every turn, that concept of relationship dominates the landscape of our faith, like few other. Sadly, though, over the years, some have taken those wonderful relational terms that can tease out the complexities of God, and they've turned them into a sort of litmus test for the Christian faith, as if our dogmatic beliefs about those words used to describe God were somehow more important than what it was those words pointed us to. Thankfully, those of us in non-creedal Christian community have explicit permission to move beyond the words themselves, back in the direction of what it was that those words pointed us to, back to the relational nature of our faith. And I can think of no weekend better than this one to think about the power of relationships. For this Memorial Day weekend gives us the opportunity to think about the joys and yes, even the challenges of what it means to try to live in relationship with each other. Let me tell you what I mean by that. But in order to do that, I'm going to have to give you a little bit of background about what this holiday we're celebrating this weekend, Memorial Day, is all about. Probably not many of us here this morning know this, but in the early days of our country, in the northeastern section of the United States, a regional holiday was observed called Decoration Day. Its purpose was to honor those who had given their life in service to their communities. Then the Civil War hit in the 1860s, and the country was torn apart like never before. Oh, you think the presidential election of 2016 was polarizing, but it was nothing when compared to what the country went through back then. And at the war's conclusion, folks recognized that there was a desperate need to restore relationships in this country. But how were they going to do that when there was such distrust and animosity between the two sides, the North and the South? As folks were grappling with the question, a group of Civil War veterans from the North stumbled upon an idea. They thought that they might turn that regional observance of Decoration Day into a national observance called Memorial Day. The idea sounded good, but how could they get the South to buy into that idea? It took a while, but eventually they decided on a date for the proposed holiday, May 30th. They chose that date because no battle in the Civil War had been fought on that day. It was a safe and neutral day for everyone involved. What had once seemed impossible suddenly became possible, and for 100 years, Memorial Day was observed on May 30th. It wasn't until 1968, when Congress passed the Uniform Holidays Bill, that Memorial Day was moved from May 30th to the last Monday in May. Now, it would be easy to hear the story about Memorial Day and think that the holiday was an immediate success. But as one of my UCC colleagues, a woman by the name of Lillian Daniel, wrote, it wasn't. When the first holiday began, Daniel wrote, and I quote, "It was an occasion for both sides to give angry speeches about the wartime atrocities that had been inflicted by the other side, and about the righteousness of their own cause." Eventually, however, the animosity and the anger subsided, and the holiday became what it is today, a chance to remember those who gave their lives in service, and even more, a powerful testimony to the healing and redemptive power of relationships. And on this Sunday, we, sisters and brothers in Christ, find ourselves in a place much like our northern and southern sisters and brothers who were so divided in the days of the Civil War found themselves. For those of us Christians who think of God as essentially one, or call ourselves Unitarian, could easily find ourselves pulling back and distancing from our sisters and brothers of the faith who see God as three-dimensional or Trinitarian. And we too could let those differences of perception and belief Cause us to do what many did in the latter days of the 19th century. Give angry speeches about the other and to lay out the righteousness of our own cause. But friends, to do that would be a mistake. For lost in such an approach would be the beauty of a wonderful, mysterious, and complex God that is captured so well in the Apostle Paul's words to the Romans in this morning's sacred reading. Soaring words that invite us to live our lives not on the basis of self-interest or selfishness, but on the basis of spirit. That spirit that doesn't divide, but unites. Soaring words that invite us to serve as our master, not fear, but love. Soaring words that not only take us down the path of suffering and sacrifice, but words that go one step further, down the path of glory. And so, on this weekend of solemn observance and joyful celebration, may we claim for ourselves, once again, the awesome power of relationship. A power reflected not only in our connection with one another, but in the very nature of God, God's self. Amen.